Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 185. Today, we are very excited to be back in the studio to talk all things running, non-running, Grand Slam Miami, a couple of other big meets. But yeah, boys, how we feeling?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, no, happy to be here.
I think I'd love to start off the podcast, Morgan, by talking about the journey that we experienced Thursday.
This past week. So,
and obviously this was your first time. You popped your cherry for it.
Journey? Oh, that kind of journey.
That kind of journey, George.
The most dramatic type of journey you can take with your buddies. The double threshold journey, guys, it finally happened. Have a big announcement. You're following along on Instagram. You may have already seen this, but finally, like a phoenix rising from the ashes, I'm free from my injury and I got the green light to embark on my first journey of a double threshold day. And boy, was it magical. It was an absolute fantasy, a dream come true. Us boys, we did some 2K reps in the morning out in the dirt. These guys did 6, I did 5. And then just a few wee hours later, we were back at the track running some 400 reps, just like, what's his name, Marius Backen. What's his name, George?
I think that's right, Marius, actually.
Was doing back in 2003.
Yeah. Or just like Arthur Lydiard in 1970 or something.
Yep. So
we chose quite a day for it, though.
Yeah, morning, good conditions. Pretty chill, kept it under control. Evening, not so much. The weather really put one on for us, and the storms came out. But it was all part of the experience, I think. To be honest, I haven't done 400 reps in a very long time. I mean, you guys do a lot more of that type of work, but it's probably really different doing 1500 meter type work at like 400 meter rep. A threshold rep of 400 meters, that's fucking nice. So yeah, if you're going to do anything in that type of weather, in those conditions, doing 400s made it pretty chill. We're doing the classic 400s off 30-second recovery. We were taking longer recovery every 4, so it was like split into sets, which I would say we're transitioning into not doing that, just doing them all the way straight through. But honestly, I was, because these boys, as we talked about previously, they did it for the first time in Phoenix. So that's what, 2 months ago now, at least. And you guys have done it a few times since. No, it's not an every week thing.
No, sometimes it's like a minute hills. We did that one time when I was back. And then other times I did like 800s or something like that when I was in Australia.
Not super regular, but
yeah, not an every week thing. But these guys are a bit more well-versed in it than I was. I was expecting the worst. I was expecting some pain, but honestly, it was just pretty chill.
I mean, once you get through the first couple of reps, I feel like you just kind of, you know, lock into gear.
You can do a lot of them pretty easily.
You can do a lot. And also, I feel like it was pretty cool. It was just the 3 of us in the afternoon. Coffee Club boys. As Kyle Merber would say, that was a Coffee Club first. Coffee Club history. First time in Coffee Club history that double threshold has taken place.
Good Kyle Merber Grand Slam reference.
So first Coffee Club.
Yeah, it was a special moment for the 3 of us to be out there on the track together. And
Dathan said it was his worst nightmare.
Yeah, he was not happy seeing us having so much fun out there. The thing is, like, we've been doing these double workouts, and Dathan didn't do double threshold in his past, but he actually used to do like 2-a-day workouts, double workouts, where he would do more strength stuff in the morning and then hills / speed stuff in the evening. So he just keeps being like, oh yeah, I used to do this all the time. And it's like, bro, like, stop flexing on us, like acting as if like this isn't a big deal. This is a big deal for us. It's double threshold. Like it's Jakob's training.
He was in the morning because I asked him, oh, who's doing the double T in the afternoon? Because we all, like our whole men's team did the threshold in the morning. And he said, oh, it's just the Coffee Club boys. God, I didn't want to admit this, but it's gonna be pretty bad for me. I don't want to deal with you guys being happy down there. And he had to deal with us enjoying a second workout. So
I think we were enjoying it more just because, well, it was fucking pouring with rain.
It was terrible weather.
Well, at least we were moving. Chris just had to stand out there in the rain, which kudos for him for coming out.
Yeah. So honestly, double threshold, you guys probably know that I was already sold before I even tried it. Now I'm super sold. I think it's pretty cool.
How fit do you think you got from one session?
ultra.
I mean, after seeing you on Sunday, I feel like you got ultra pretty ultra fit on Sunday.
No, I think it's just like, this is like my, for the real take on it is like, I believe that like one of the best things that you can do is just obviously a lot of strength work, particularly if you're like a 5K aspiring 10K guy like myself, maybe eventually moving up. I think you want to get these big strength days in. And I think during my build up to the half marathon, I did some really solid strength days, which got up to even 12 miles, like in a single workout. But I think once you start hitting 12 in a single workout, it gets a little bit, like you can do it, but it gets, I guess, slightly unproductive at a certain point because you can't, it's hard to do that much work in a single workout. Whereas if you do split it up across two, like people do a double threshold, and let's say, for example, you do what we did, which is, this is probably one of the most standard double threshold days you'll see, which is 2K reps or 6 minute, 7 minute reps in the morning, and then coming back and doing 4 minute, 400s later in the day. Like that's probably the most standard you can do. By doing that, you can just get a really good amount of high quality volume in, which is what I think you want on a day when you're doing threshold work. Like that's just what I think makes you the best, is being able to do as much. So I think it's just
you end up at about 12 miles.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But I think you could push it to 14 probably.
Yeah.
And the big difference is, which I really liked with the 400s, is that, so if you were doing 12 miles of threshold work in one session, like when I did that, I was doing 3 mile reps and 2 mile reps, and I was running pretty close to 5 minute pace for those. Whereas the way that we did it, you're doing 400s and we probably ended up averaging 66s, yeah, which is just so much faster. So I think when you can expose your body to like those quicker paces without having, you know, maybe the same like intensity that you would have normally doing like hard 400s or whatever, I think it's just so good. So I think it just really covers a lot of ground in a very like effective and efficient way. So that's why I thought it was good for us. I'm not saying I think it's good for everyone, and I'm not saying you need to do it, but I think for where we're at in our running careers, it's like something that makes sense to do right now. Like, I guess that's why we're doing it, because it makes sense. So I like it as an avenue forwards.
I think, yeah, getting 4 or 5 miles of work at, I mean, it's almost essentially like 10K pace.
Yeah, that's what it becomes. I mean, that's what you see with the best people in the world that do it. It becomes essentially their 10K pace, which is fast for, you know, like we saw Andreas Almgren do 25 off 30 seconds at, I think he was probably at 7,000 feet and he averaged under 64. So he's running 26:40 10K. Like that's it's threshold, but it's such high quality at the same time, which is pretty cool, I think.
And 10K pace and steeple pace are about the same. So it works out really well for me as well.
That's all you should be doing, essentially.
So, still a barrier in there.
Yeah.
No. Our next tip, I think, is what I was trying to convince Ritz, is when you start taking each other's lactate to save
efficiency,
to improve efficiency.
Is that because certain people take your lactate and you don't like how they take it?
No. Okay. Purely efficiency. Okay. There's too many of us and there's not enough people taking lactate.
Fair enough.
You know,
that's that simple.
Well, Robert just takes it on his finger, but apparently the finger to ear is, the accuracy is a bit.
We talked about, I think we were gonna test that theory.
Because I
wasn't any time.
I just started fucking pouring with rain.
Ollie tested it.
I tested it because I had my own lactate meter when I went to Australia.
Oh, no, as you did.
And Dathan said, I just want to test the finger to the ear and see the difference. So I did whatever I did. And then he pricked my finger and it was 9.6. He pricked my ear, it was 5.3.
When? Who's this? Who's he?
Dathan.
I thought you said in Australia.
No. Dathan told me, he said, oh, I'll see what it's like from ear to finger because he reckons it's different.
But when was yesterday?
This was before I went to Australia. So that's why I
got ages ago.
Yeah, so I got Meg to do my ear, or my dad to do my ear, because the inaccuracy with the finger to, well, we believe from what we saw with me, but it could just be like the way I did it. It could have been incorrect. But when I pricked my finger for that particular time, it was 9.6, and then I pricked my ear and it was 5.3.
Yeah, but see, my main thing, main issue with that is like we see so many really good athletes use their finger. Still. And yeah, it's like, they wouldn't be doing it if it didn't work.
Exactly.
Like,
I'm pretty sure Ritz, right before we started, he took Koki's.
Yeah.
Because Koki worked out right for us. He did a finger and an ear and they were the same.
Yeah. It's tough. The thing is, I've actually become less, what's the word? Like, I think I've become less reliant on like lactate. Like I think like the readings, I think it's more like more vibe thing. Like that's what the Roches would say. I think it's more
I feel like you've been wearing your heart rate monitor more though.
I always wear my heart rate monitor for workouts, and I think heart rate is a really good thing for me to like kind of check my vibe, you know, if I feel something.
Check my vibe.
Yeah, but like if I feel something, let's say I'm doing a rep, it's like I don't like to focus on like splits or time that much, but sometimes like I'll start a rep and I'll be like, oh, this feels harder, and then I'll check my heart rate and I'll be like, oh, it's 4 beats higher, so we must be running faster, so like it's okay to like maintain this or even slow down a little. Like that's how I would use heart rate if I was trying to like keep it lower, for example, in that workout. But with the thing with lactate is like I just think, I don't know, I just imagine there's still so much room for inaccuracy. So I don't think it's like you can treat it like the Bible where, you know, you take a reading and you make a big judgment or change based off that. I think it's maybe more similar to like the heart rate where it can like confirm something. Like it can be like, oh yeah, this feels right. And then the number looks right. So let's keep doing this, you know? Or maybe like you were wondering, like this feels a little bit hard and then your number was high. Oh, let's slow down a little bit. I think that's probably like the thing to do it. And it's interesting because like we joke about Mike Smith and any of you guys all the time, and they've done Double Threshold for 4 or 5 years now, maybe even slightly longer. And they never do lactate, right?
Sounds like they, Bosley now keeps posting it on his Strava.
Oh, so they do it now.
Seems like they've started doing it. Well, I don't know if they're just doing it.
Just like them?
Just like they're showing up with it.
Yeah.
Maybe like Woody's brought his own one or something.
Yeah. Woody definitely had one.
And then I don't know if that's just like, now they're just using Woody's. I don't know if Smith's leading the charge on that.
Okay, interesting.
But there's some numbers out there.
Yeah.
But I do think they would not pay much attention to it. I don't think they would make big decisions based on it.
I just think it's one of those things that's like, if you wanted to use it more, like big decisions more, you have to, it goes really deep. Like you have to go really deep and you have to go to the lab and do the testing, or you have to really be paying a lot of attention. Like, I just think like in our situation, it's like, I don't think the coaches would be able to effectively like go that deep with every athlete in every workout. If you know what I mean, I think it just takes too much like effort to do that well with everyone at the same time. Like when we're all working out together,
we have too many people for sure.
True.
What I've found that I liked it, especially for like sessions on Thursday, is that now we've done so many of them that my lactate is so consistent on like the morning sessions that as long as it's in within like 0.5 of what it normally is, then I'm like pretty happy.
That like ticks the box.
Yeah. As opposed to like changing something. Well, mm-hmm. Normally I just don't have to. It's like, all right, yeah, sweet. Yeah. This is about where it normally is. And if it's not,
that's good.
Yeah. Kind of just confirming. All right, this is where it normally is. This is where it is today. Probably all good.
I've just willed mine into existence, like lowering it. I've when I get my lactate, I just like close just my eyes and tell my body, you produce a 2.7 or a 3.0 or 1.0, whatever. You produce that. I've told my body and I've willed it into existence and it works every time.
That was Dylan the last.
It doesn't matter how hard you run. It doesn't matter. You could just sprint and then just say like, I want my lactate to be super low, and then you just like will into existence.
No, the last rep, like the sixth rep that you didn't do, mm-hmm. Dylan didn't want to slow down. He just wanted to run with us.
Yeah.
The last 200 meters, he's like, oh. He was like trying to shake it out. He's like, all right, I got to relax. I got to get this number down before I get there.
I think that actually works.
He slowed down the last
like last 200 meters.
He's
like, I'm just going to relax, shake this out a little bit. Yeah.
He slowed it down. I don't know. I think his lactate was low as well.
I can't remember, but it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I think those two cases that you guys mentioned are kind of like the things, because it's like, yeah, George, because you can do that because you've done it over a long enough period of time now where you have a good feeling with it. And I think like, kind of what you mentioned, I think actually if you see it go down over time, like it's the same thing where it's like, yeah, that's obviously a good sign, and that makes you feel good about yourself. But
it does make you feel good when like, you've like, I think when we were first doing threshold stuff, mine was like 5-6, and then now mine's like 2-3. So
yeah, but then it's just like there's so much, everyone still has their own probably individual lactate curve.
I mean, I want my lactate to spike because I'm a mid-D guy. If my lactate is not spiking, then I've got an issue.
Yeah,
because I want to be able to produce lactate when I fucking run quick. So
it's true. So yeah, that's our double threshold adventures. There'll probably be some more of them in the future. But yeah, it feels good to be on the Norwegian method. Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
I think they do call it that.
So it was a good time. It was a good time. But yeah, it's nothing revolutionary. I think it's just like a smart.
Yeah.
But I would like asterisks. I said this to the guys on the day. If I did have a kid who was 12 or 13 years old and they told me, Dad, I want to be the best runner in the world, I'd say, go do double threshold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's start taking
it. I mean, it is. It is.
I would do that with them. I would. Yeah. Until I find something that seems better that you can do like consistently across your whole life.
It's pretty revolutionary.
It's one of the things I would do.
Pretty revolutionary. Speaking of revolutionary, Grand Slam track Miami.
Yeah, what do we think? What was the initial, trivialness of the first one happening, even though they kept making a big deal, this is the first Grand Slam on American soil. It's like, no one cares.
also, the commissioner was in town. Did you know the commissioner was there?
Commissioner was there. Big deal. But yeah, what do we think about this one? Just like kind of initial reactions compared to the first one.
I only watched Friday. So like for me.
So much better.
I saw Friday and I thought, shit, there's not as many people in the stands as I thought there would be. But I heard that Saturday and Sunday was a lot better.
Yeah.
Which makes sense because it's a weekend.
I also think it might have been like the back straight or something.
It could have been something. I was just watching and I was like, shit. I didn't. I thought I'd just see people like lining around the track.
What was that?
There was, yeah.
In the end. Why do you think it was better? What are the kind of like initial?
I think they probably listened to the podcast last time.
what things did they put into action?
What were our problems with it?
I don't know. The camera shots were better.
Yeah, camera work was pretty good.
I think like...
The product was, yeah.
90% of it was holding it in a smaller stadium.
Yeah.
Also,
atmosphere-wise?
Did you guys... Just, yeah.
I think it... Something about like watching it last time was so uncomfortable. Knowing that
the emptiness,
yeah. It was in a giant stadium that was empty. Mm-hmm. And I think just like everything looked like it was more, I mean, shit, it was the second one. It was more polished. Like it looked like a nice venue for it.
The track seems
a nice
extremely
size.
Fast.
A fucking borderline short.
Yeah, I think it was short. But
that track is insane.
At least for the 100 and 110 hurdles.
Yeah, it looked very quick.
I don't know if they're using the right lines, but.
It looks very quick.
Some storylines starting to emerge.
Yeah,
definitely. For example, one of the biggest ones that we can just get right into, I guess, is the 8:15 group, the group that we talk about the most probably, was the hero of the day, the hero that we needed, Josh Kerr, the original male signee for the Grand Slam track, going from, I believe, seventh in the first one overall to first. Just like that, in a matter of 4 weeks.
What do we think he did in the last 4 weeks?
As the commentator said, he's been through a lot the past 6 months. So he's definitely, I tell you what he has done. He's definitely improved his dance moves. Because I think from that one of the little viral clips of his little dance move, that little salsa he did, that definitely put him from seventh to first.
No, but that's the thing. I think that dance move was shot in about October.
But it was shown before Miami. So I think there must have been some sort of correlation.
I love that they're like, just do something for Miami.
What do you think the prompt was?
Do something that's like, you're in Miami. Imagine you're in Miami, you're at the nightclub, but you're also about to go race a 1500. Go.
Yeah, he just doing his little shimmy and then he just turns around to the crowd and just G's him up. I mean, you know, what more can you ask for?
As he should.
What more can you ask for?
It worked, whatever it was. I think, well, in his interviews, he said, he did kind of mention tweaking stuff in training, but he also said, I think it wasn't as much of a fitness thing as more of a race preparedness thing.
Race fitness.
So no,
he said it was like a mental shift.
Yeah, that's what he was alluding to. Is just the first one was a rust buster, as some like to say. In the second one, he was ready to go, which to me, honestly, can make sense because one thing that I have like kind of observed watching these races is how high the level is. And I think it's really easy to forget how high the level is because we're used to watching all these races play out in a certain way. But now you watch, like there's these athletes who I know are amazing athletes and I know are in great form and they're getting dusted by these other athletes who are just like a little bit more amazing and maybe in a little bit better form, you know what I mean? So the level is so high. So if you are just off a little bit like Josh maybe was in the first one, you get exposed, which is essentially what they want because mm-hmm. they want the highest level of racing as much as possible. So it is.
I guess, love the storylines that is emerging that we had like new challenges, but the same. I actually really liked that. There were some like new people to watch versus the same people.
Mm-hmm.
Like obviously that's the whole point.
Yeah. But it just would have been fun to have Wanyoni still there just because of the mark that he made on the first one.
Yeah.
So you could really get that direct comparison. Maybe, but it's going to make it even more exciting when he does come back.
Maybe they'll invite him back.
Well, who did they pay off to get that bigger logo on? What strings is Josh pulling?
Yeah, for the Brooks logo? He can do whatever he wants, I guess.
That's what it seems like. How many times have they showed us that tiny little box that the logo has to fit in?
I don't know. I try and avoid
for World Athletics
looking at that thing, but
exactly, special privileges.
I definitely agree with you with that statement, Morgs, about like being, you know, if you're a little bit off at that level, you're gonna fucking fall behind. I mean, to be fair, like watching that race, particularly the 1500, it was very interesting because watching the past few races with Cole in them, he's always boxed in. With 200 to go, and then he finds a way out. This time, he didn't find a way out, and he got stuck. I reckon if he got out, he could have been more vicious on that last 100, but he was stuck because, like, Yara's not going to let him out.
Well, his kick hasn't looked as good as it's looked in the last couple of years.
That's true.
He's been consistently out-kicking,
but
like,
he can't get out.
People.
He was boxed in.
But it doesn't seem like he's got the capabilities either. Maybe he is just boxed in.
The race, I guess for me, when I watched it, I was like, he's boxed in, he's not going to be able to get out. Because
definitely with 150, he was boxed. But even like his last 30 is sometimes unbelievable, but his last 30 was pretty normal.
Yeah, but he would run up the back of Yara and he just couldn't move anywhere. They just kept him in there.
Yeah.
I think they gapped him a little bit in the last 50.
Well, he was third, wasn't he?
Yeah. But I think Josh and Yara went away a little bit.
I'd have to rewatch it, but I do feel like he just didn't have the space to get out. Marco Ayrop, my favorite, I think maybe our favorite, to obviously Yard. Yard is our number one. Marco Ayrop, number two. But watching him run the whole last 300 in lane two was horrible as a 1500 runner. If he was more close in, I reckon he could have just... He looked like he was jogging too. That dude's form is insane.
But he looks like he's jogging when he runs 143 as well. Like when he goes through in 50, you're like, wow, yeah. He's chilling.
I love him, man.
He was feeling a little too good on that last lap.
He looked amazing. I thought he's going to win this. I like was watching it and I was like, he's going to win this. But he looked so wide. And then Josh kind of came through between him and Yard. But he looked amazing. I mean, he's been so consistent at just making sure those boys know he's the 800 guy.
But it is super different if you think about it for him, because in an 800, even at the highest level, championship level, yeah, it's still a battle of like who dies the least essentially in that last 50. Like they almost never run their fastest 50 in the last 50, whereas the 1500, the last 50 is actually a kick.
Yeah.
So that is something that he does, I guess, have to learn how to do, because you can tell that he's feeling good. But I don't think he realizes that everyone else is kind of just like saving those few gears for that last 100, last 50, where so much can change in a 1500.
How do we feel about his 330 prediction still?
Realistic
or less realistic?
I think realistic.
He ran a 335 PB, I think,
this past
weekend, which is good. 330 is, to me, like still a different universe, a 335. I think it'd be tough.
I think it's realistic.
I think it'd be really tough.
If he
I think
learns how to run the 15, like, I think he doesn't know how to run the 15.
I think he'd need to stop doing workouts like he just did.
Well, the workout he did was a very 800 workout.
Ridiculous.
But I think he's not running like a 1500 meter runner. He's running like an 800 meter runner in a 15. Like exactly. If you watch him race it, he's not running like a 15 guy. If he had the tactics or like now the knowledge to say this is how I like the top guys run this 1500 meters, I reckon he can run 331, 330. In a fast race, relaxed, he's definitely capable enough, talented enough, fit enough. But yeah, it's just he needs to learn the way to run it. Because like the 800, like even Yara was talking about it, like his first lap, he's like, I got to get out. Like that's how the 800s run. And it's just something that you're going to have to develop and learn.
But yeah, Marco, we still probably haven't really seen him in a 1500. That's like a Jakob style 1500 where it is actually even splits essentially, which I don't know if that suits him more.
Well, either he's going to feel really good at it or he's going to feel like this is really fucking hard.
Yeah.
So like to see him in that race, I would love to. And I think he's so talented. I think he could do it. He's a big boy though. He's massive.
Yeah.
For a 15 guy, he'd be towering over the other guys.
He certainly is. Before we get more into the actual like Kerr win and how it all went down, we do have to give the big shout out to our boy Yard, who had another great weekend. I think he ended up
Equal third. I think fourth on time.
Yeah, fourth on time.
He had equal third points.
Well, no. Wasn't he?
He was equal third on points, but I think time-wise, I think he was fourth. There was something to do with the time.
I think the Botswana guy had the time tiebreaker over him.
But
I kind of like that's the tiebreaker.
The time?
Tough time.
Yeah. I think it actually kind of makes sense.
I like that system as well.
I actually don't. I wish they did the rock, paper, scissors after the race. Everyone gets the crowd around. Everyone's crazy. It's just Jared and the Botswana guy going.
That would be actually very
And that'd be hectic, that'd be right? Sick. And then it's like, oh, he got scissors. Yeah. You know, that'd be sick.
But he did run a big PB in the 8 of 144. And he held off the other 1,500 meter guys, which I think, it, like, even for us that know him, like, I think there was an expectation that it was going to be hard for him to be better than Josh and Cole in the 800. But so far, he's looking absolutely amazing doing that. So it was cool to see him do pretty well in that as well. I mean, not pretty well, do amazing in that and run so fast. So
beating Cole twice in a weekend is, yeah, is like, got to be pretty good.
Especially, like, when he's... Yeah, they're just honest races, you know? It's not like a paced Diamond League race or anything like that. It's just, these are just honest races. But yeah, Kurt, after, it's crazy how much momentum you have after winning the first one, like the first of the two events. It just changes the dynamic just with those 12 points that you secure compared to the 8 points of second place. Because one thing that I found a little bit, deflating was that it's like Kerr just came fifth in the 800 and then he wins overall. And I think there's
is like more deserving though? If you just took the points out of it and you just looked at both races, who would you want to say this?
The bus one and whose name I should know, but I can't remember.
You think
two more solid races.
Yeah. But I just want to look at the results.
Because
was second and
So him and Yara were both second and fourth, and then Josh was first and fifth. So they both had six if you add those together, obviously the first being worth so much more.
But you get a big bonus for the win.
But he was, the Botswanan athlete was just more competitive in both events.
Yeah.
Which is...
It just depends if you want to, reward consistent performance over both days, or you want to reward
that dub. A dub,
which is what they've obviously chosen to go that route.
Yeah, the issue with that I find is like a viewer is it's still just like it's a little bit anticlimactic when, like, for example, the title of the YouTube video that they uploaded for, I think, on the NBC Sports YouTube page for the 800 was Josh Kerr has solid 800 and wins Grand Slam. It's like, okay, no, like that's just such an unexciting way of like.
Well, looking at the placing here, it's really interesting. Because like Kerr wins, right? He was fifth in the 8, first in the 15. A-Rob was first in the 8, seventh in the 15.
Yeah. And, he's,
and then you have the Botswanans, second and fourth.
Yeah.
But you also have Pete Bowl, third and fifth. He was 1, 2, 3, 4. He was fifth.
Yeah.
But he was third and fifth. Like that seems better than fifth, but he got fifth. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. It's very consistent.
Even Yared, like fourth and second. Really good. But first and seventh for A-Rop, like...
And he still comes second. Overall.
Because he won the 8.
Yeah, I wonder if they will adjust that.
And he was only 2 events. Points... He was only 2 points away from Kerr. Like, if Kerr dropped to 6th, he probably would have still had it, but...
Yeah, it does seem to be... First and 7th doesn't sound like you should be able to come second still.
No, it doesn't. And I think it's just, when you compare it to other sports that have a 2... race format, like, I don't know, F1's like the obvious example. It's like they've managed to have it. I don't know how you apply this to Grand Slam, to mid D, to distance, but they've managed to have it in a way where every race means everything. If you watch both races in F1, and I'm talking about qualifying the actual race, they both mean the absolute world to win that race. You know what I mean? Like, they're both so important and they mean everything on that day. Whereas, I mean, obviously both these races mean everything to the athletes, but it's just the fact that it's like you can come fifth, get kind of like buried, and then like, oh, you just won.
Hypothetically, if the win was worth 10 instead of 12, what would the scores have been?
Let me check.
Because I feel like maybe a 2-point bonus instead of a 4-point bonus.
While I check.
Would Josh still win?
No.
If he, Josh would be...
Take 2 points off.
If he took, he'd be 14.
What was Yared?
Yared was 13.
Oh, he still would have won.
So he'd still win by 1 point.
A-Rop would have been 12, which means Yared and... Oh, I'm going to butcher his last name. The Botswanan guy. Hungura would have been second. And then Yared would have been equal second, third.
So Josh still would have won.
Josh still would have won because I think the fifth was good enough.
By then it's more close, which is...
But if he was sixth, then the Botswanan would have won.
Yeah.
I kind of think that... I feel like 10 is enough.
Yeah. With how competitive it is, I think 10's like good.
get that extra one point.
What do you guys think about them when they win the Slam Championship? They get their little Grand Slam flag and they hold it up like their country flag. I actually personally, no offense, Grand Slam, I fucking hate it. I think it looks terrible. I think it looks disrespectful to any time you win a medal and you're holding up your flag. Like, that's an iconic thing. You're holding up a Grand Slam. What would be a better... Your national
flag.
Just hold up your national flag. It's cool.
Then it is like winning a medal, though.
I mean, they're winning $100,000. Like,
I think you could just hold up. It's their version of holding
up a
trophy.
In Diamond Leagues, you hold up your flag if you break a national record. I don't think it's
disrespectful. I think it's more just like...
It just feels disrespectful. It's not...
You think so?
Yeah, but for me,
looking
at it...
I think they're just trying to get a good picture to put on their Instagram that just shows... That just conveys the information.
You know what they should do? You know what be a good picture? What they should do is get a cannon and shoot $100,000 in a dollar bills at them. And then it just goes like flying like rain. That'd be a great photo.
I think they do... I think it's a nice like... So it shows like the whole crowd, like, all right, that's who won. And like,
give them a crown or something.
If the crowd's struggling to find who won, though, George,
Everyone's struggling. Josh was struggling. He was like looking around, like he was fucking counting on his fingers.
Well, they just run up to him and give him the Grand Slam. Do they have a trophy? They just have a check.
Oh, they have an envelope.
Oh, you just tell them like they have an earpiece and then they said, oh, you've won Grand Slam. And then you just do this. Just put your hands like this.
Can you describe what you're doing for the listeners?
I am doing the business hand that the commissioner does usually when he's talking about stuff, which is where you put your three fingers.
Commissioner MJ?
Commissioner MJ, yeah. Commissioner Gordon. Got the bat signal out. Josh Kerr's answered the signal. No, Josh Kerr'd be more like Harvey Dent than Batman, I think.
It's a good, I can see that.
The White Knight. And then let's not go into what happens to Harvey Dent, but I think Batman's more like Mark Ayrup or Yard. Like, I can see them being Batman.
Yeah, but it is huge for Joe. I feel like that's just like the monkey off his back now because he's...
Until the next Grand Slam when Yarb wins, but...
Yeah, but there's only four of them, so if you win one of them, that's pretty good.
That is pretty good. You know? Honestly, to be fair, I did think Cole was going to win one earlier.
Hey, we still got...
Hey, we're only halfway through.
That's true.
It is crazy that they are already halfway through that at the same time.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, it's the first time they've been halfway through in Grand Slam history, so...
Oh, that's good.
That was good.
And they're going to Philly for the first time.
And this
will
be the first
too.
Time ever Grand Slam, like Grand Slam history, they're going to be in Philly. The first time in Grand Slam history.
I can't remember exactly what you remember.
He was saying that Grant Fisher is back-to-back Grand Slam winner and the first time in Grand Slam history.
Oh, okay, that's good.
And I thought, Merba, you're really stringing this along, brother. You're really stringing this along. Hey, Merba, you're the first one to commentate on Grant Fisher doing the back-to-back Grand Slam champion in Grand Slam history. Congratulations.
What do you guys reckon happened at Centro? Why did he get replaced by Cheeky Chavez? Do you think?
They probably thought
he got left in Jamaica.
They probably thought oh, Centro, we need somebody that isn't as threatening.
No, it's just like what's his name? John?
Who's John?
The other guy commentating. Isn't this
John? John Kerr. John Kerr.
What's his name? The ESPN guy.
Yeah, he's actually amazing.
Yeah.
He does the NCAA stuff. He does the NCAA's SEC. Yeah.
What's his name? How do we not know that?
John Travolta.
How do we not know his name?
John Hamm.
He's the racer and the person on the end is the challenger.
Oh, okay.
Challenger commentator.
And they have Sanya Richards Ross as well.
Wait, so Cheeky Chavez was the challenger commentator?
Yeah, it'll be a new one. That's the spot we're going for.
Did he win? Or I don't know how that works with commentating. How do you win?
I didn't see the flag.
Hey,
so.
When's Coffee Club going to become the challenger?
Exactly.
I thought we had an agreement that we would be on at least one. The Philly one could be good.
We could do an audition tape.
Yeah. Okay. We should do the commentary on LA, I reckon. I reckon we should do LA.
Should we make our own? Even if they don't invite us?
Yeah,
we're just
I reckon
pod,
we should make our
we'll
own because our own we would do amazing commentary and I feel like everyone would listen to us, particularly for short
And then if you
distance.
Go in the Peacock app on the TV, you can select like alternative commentary and that'll be our...
It'll be our commentary.
Our version.
Yeah.
I think it would have more listeners.
Kyle, Commissioner Gordon, can you please just get us on the commentary? You will not regret it, trust me. Your viewership will go up tenfold.
Yeah. Just get us on the... We could just set up a bench right next to theirs.
Also, we might get an opportunity to get like some cool people on like the pod afterwards. We could do like an after party pod.
Who would you want?
Sydney McGuckins. I'd want Kung Fu Kenny. I'd want...
So just double winners only?
Yeah, only the winners. Only the people that are undefeated in Grand Slam history. Like, I want Kyle Membrane on it.
Grant right now.
I want Grant.
Melissa.
Jefferson. Yep, Melissa Jefferson. I want, honestly, I want the commissioner on. I want Commissioner Gordon on. And I would love to have Josh Kerr and Cole. Actually, I'd love to have Josh, Cole, and Jared on, and then we don't tell him, and then we get Jakob to fly in, we pay him, we get him a wig and a mustache, and he dresses up like Morgan, and then he interviews him. That would be my dream, but speaking of, I don't know if it's going to work out.
Speaking of being unbeaten, the distance runners are at a huge disadvantage for the bonus 100K.
They're not getting it. There's no way they're getting it.
What the distance runner, was that whoever has the most points?
Yeah.
Yeah, sprints is just like obviously going to get
it. It's going to be Sydney and Kenny probably.
Allison and Kenny are tied right now. Dos Santos. Because 400,
oh, yeah, that is true.
Like, 400 hurdles is like the obvious favorite to win that every year.
Wait, is there one for the men and one for the women?
Only one each. Oh, so like a distance runner is never, ever, ever going to win that.
Do you guys, I don't know.
It's not predict. It's too unpredictable.
The whole, in my mind, the whole, like the way it's designed is for sprinters. But do you guys think it's even exciting for these sprinters when they just fucking dominate every single
thing? I had outside viewership from Meg's parents.
What's the sprint version of the coffee club? They'll probably talk about.
Well, they pretty much said that like the distance is way more interesting to watch because I think with the sprints it's way more.
It's like, yeah, but Kiff, we've had a couple of comments saying that we're way too biased to make this decision.
Okay.
And they're absolutely right.
It is amazing to watch Kung Fu Kenny win both.
It is.
It's actually somewhat of a question. Like DeSantos winning the 400 hurdles every time is just like do they even need to run this? Like,
but to be fair, like, no offense to the sprints, but there's no Noah Lyles. There's no Shikari. There's no, like, there's a lot of the top people aren't doing it. And it's the same with the distance. Like, Jakob.
You can say that easily.
However, I feel like for the distance, there's more going on. There's more storylines.
They get to touch each other because they're not restricted.
They do get to touch each other, which I think helps. I think Meg's parents love that. But in general, like, I think it's just way more interesting with the distance because there's a lot more movement, whereas in the sprints...
And we're not biased at all.
It's not as, not as much going on.
Completely unbiased opinions.
Unbiased take there.
Another unbiased...
I think from what I've heard, they should just get rid of the sprints entirely and just do distance.
Just boy distance.
Grand Slam distance.
What is the 10K marathon group?
Yeah, and then bring all the money from the sprints in. I mean, the sprints, like, they get paid really well. So we'll just move all the money into the distance. And that's not biased at all. That's not biased at all. The commissioner has already been talking about it. I think he's just going to set up a distance-only league called the Chicken Boy Morgs League.
Yeah. Amazing.
Amazing.
Make it happen. Moving on.
I have loved watching the women's short distance. Both Jamaica and Miami did freaking electric races.
Like Melissa?
No, short distance.
Oh, sorry. Short distance, sorry.
Not long sprints.
I was still in sprint. Not long sprints.
I'm being biased again.
Yeah. Is that long sprints or short distance? I can't tell because it's kind of a sprint, 800 meters sprint.
It is a bit of an oxymoron, short distance, right? It's a bit confusing. For
And also long sprints is like, okay.
So. But long sprints actually gets used. Like that... The 400 actually does get called like a long sprint, I think, out of the Grand Slam format.
But the 800 is kind of
no
a sprint. No
one's ever said short distance.
Are you racing the short distance race today?
Why are they not like middle? Why are they not like mid distance? Why are they not like middle distance?
Just for
mid and long, for consistency, whatever.
Yeah, consistency's sake.
Consistency's sake.
Yeah, the women's races have been very electric. I think it was really exciting, especially to see, same as we just said about the men's, all of the continuing storylines. I was in particular very excited to see the rise of Mary Morar.
What a comeback from day one.
Yeah.
The comeback. Her ability to win an 800.
Is very impressive. It's very amazing.
Did she finish the day before?
In the 15.
Yeah, she did. She
took the lead for about 50 meters, and then all of a sudden she was out of camera shot.
I don't actually know what she finished, if she did finish.
I think she was, let me check.
Maybe 8th. Maybe
7th. But
from the front.
Protect that title.
That was pretty sick.
New on teammate, Hailu?
She was 8th. She ran the 15.
425.
Oh, George, good guess. 424. But the winner ran 406.
Yeah, they closed in 201.
And she got third. She got third overall, Moira, because she won the 8th.
Yeah. It's winning,
she got
baby.
Third.
It's all about that dub. But Nikki, once again, looking very strong and just consistent, I would say. But Hailu, who is one of quite a few amazing Ethiopian women in the mid-distance scene right now, she looked pretty damn ferocious out there. And she got the dub. I think she just signed with On like I don't know if it was like just this week or whatever, but
seemed like it.
Yeah,
that was pretty sweet.
That was a big deal. That was good.
First on Grand Slam champ, must be.
Yeah, first in history.
Yeah, before you are
first in Grand Slam history.
First in Grand Slam history. First in on history. Dream on.
Dream on. Exactly. Anything else from the women's short distance?
I honestly, Nikki Hiltz, I love their haircut. Sick, like a mullet. It's sick.
Is it a mullet? Is that what it's classified as?
I think I would classify as a mullet. They rocked it very well. So shout out to that. I love a good mullet.
Baller racing from Nikki.
I mean, was it 201 close in the 15?
Yeah.
And that's fucking crazy.
While they were like behind Hilo in lane one, had Waltigi and Jess Hull on the outside, was like, well, fuck, no way through here. Literally slowed down, went out to like lane three, went all the way around the outside, and almost caught Hilo at the end. It's like, wow, that's one way to do it.
That's like what freaking Cole did at the Olympics. So like literally he got nicked, he had to slow down and then sped up again and won.
They let him through though.
They did let him through. This time they didn't. They said, no, no, no.
I think it is the same as the men's side though, where you might not realize it sometimes watching it, but I think the level of racing right there is so high. And like, cause even like, yeah, well, Teji, like, she's like, they're just, they're all so good. So it's like, even when you see some of these.
I mean, like, Jess Hull, like, being in the middle of those two Grand Slams, Olympic silver medalist, and like, early year, like, still competing really well. Still so impressive.
Think they'll get Faith out to one?
No. I reckon they won't get any of the top dogs out because I reckon Faith, Jakob, Shikari, Noah, they'd be asking for an ungodly amount of money from Grand Slam because Grand Slam are flaunting money. They're like, we've got all this money. Like,
but don't they not pay? Do they pay appearance fees? What's like the final verdict on that?
I think they don't have enough money anymore.
I don't think they do, but maybe they change that. But I think those athletes are probably not going because the Diamond League's probably
paying them
so much.
I think a lot of them have Diamond League contracts.
Yeah.
So I think like Diamond League will have them like pay them appearance fees to turn up to.
That is the thing that there's like contract to go to multiple.
Like but I think I hope that they,
I hope that they are not paying. I feel like you paying appearance fees would go against, like, the point of Grand Slam track.
Yeah, but what if like what if Yaku was like, I'll only come if you pay me $20,000. It's like, all right.
That'd be nothing to them.
Yeah, that'd be nothing to Yaku.
But hypothetically. Like, then it's like, okay, let's
technically,
make that
though, appearance fee, like, I mean, it's not an appearance fee, but to get Sydney McGuckins to run this Grand Slam, they paid her in a contract, which is kind of like an appearance fee.
That's the same 100%. Thing. That's the same thing as an appearance fee. But that's the difference between the, that was at one point, like, meant to be the difference between some, like, the challenges and the races. Is like,
the races get appearance fees.
The people that run contracts, because there are contracts to.
What do you reckon McGuckins is probably like $1 million or something? Crazy.
Yeah, probably like 1 to 10 million.
Man, in that range. That's a lot of schmeckles.
It's a lot of schmeckles indeed. The women's long distance was bloodbath.
Yeah, that's probably a good one for her.
Twice over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing racing, honestly. I think they just do not hold back. And it makes sense because in Getic, Agnes, I think she's coming off. Did she set the 10K road record last week in the ADAS event? Or she is the 10K road world record holder. One of those two. Maybe
and
both
I think
of those two.
Number two all time in the half. I'm
so
pretty sure.
It's like she's racing the 3K and the 5K on the track. So obviously her tactic is to go very fast and see what happens. And it's working out very, very well for her so far. But I didn't watch the 5K, which they end up running 14:25, super, super fast. I did watch a 3K, and whoever it was that led the first lap, she did, I think she was one of the Ethiopians who did end up dying. She took him out at 62. It was a 62 first lap in the women's 3K.
And what did the men's 3K go out in? Probably 72.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally. So that was also a very fast one, and it was just carnage, but some amazing racing. It was really exciting watching that race to see our teammate Sige up there crushing it. She ended up fourth place, but she went to the front on the back stretch in the last lap. But yeah, pretty amazing just racing and very fast times across both events. The 3K had four women under 8:25, which is, you don't see.
I think that's faster than a lot of the men in the actual long distance 3K as well.
Yeah, pretty much. I had the funniest moment watching the men's 3K where I was seeing Koki for treatment, and so like I missed the start of it, and we put it on, and then like just based, I was like, oh, how far in are they? Because they don't always, they weren't showing the distance. They just had like the clock at that time. And based off the time and the clock, I was like, oh, they're at like 1600 meters. And then I was a whole 400 meters off, like, cause they were running out so slow. I was a whole 400 meters off where they actually were. Cause I did not realize that they were jogging that hard, but yeah. And Geddes did get the overall win in the women's long distance, which was pretty sweet. And yeah, she's one of the racers. So she'll be around to
she'll be around
go
again.
Back.
It seems like they're just going to run that back every time.
Yeah.
At least must just be looking at the men's races, being like, come on. Like,
yeah, put me in that.
Let me at one of these races.
Like, switch over, and then she probably would be able to outkick some of the men and get some more caffeine.
Yeah, it's funny how it's worked out like that, where they've both kind of slid into kind of routines. And the women's, the thing is, if I think the men's will shake up and change up. But at one point, the women's, no, I think it's going to
stay the same.
Go this every single time. And it's very impressive to see. But it makes sense because she's winning, doing it. So why would you not keep it going?
Yeah.
But speaking of the men's long distance, it was a couple of really exciting races. I think it was a really interesting field of, like, in terms of the challenges that they added, like who exactly was in it. And one of them was Mr. Andrew Corcoran.
Andrew Capricorn, yeah.
Andrew Capricorn.
Yeah. Dude, honestly, Jordy, what do you think of that last 100 split? Do you reckon you could match that in that type of race?
Was it like 11.8?
11.89. Last 11, 100.
8, 9.
That's pretty fucking quick.
Yeah.
That is...
That's moving.
That's moving.
But that I know that, like, it's a slow race, but still, that's...
What was their last 400, I wonder?
Yeah. That's a good question. Because they ran... What was the... I think the winning time was 8.17 for the 3K?
It was not quick, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty slow. That's what I'm saying. Like, 11.89 sounds reasonable in that, but, like, being able to, like, move your legs like that...
Is it 23-second 200? It would be.
It's on pace.
I think they only closed in 25, though.
Yeah.
So maybe
it was literally just 100.
Big last, like, 100.
Big last 100.
I think you could do that.
I would like to think. Not, right, I couldn't have done that last weekend, but.
Well, that's because you would have been too far back. you would have run out of
that's
the track.
The good thing about grandstands. You can't get that far back because not very many people.
That's true.
Yeah, so
pace
true.
And the number of people. That would help me. Shit. I with like 400 to go, I was watching with Jenna and I was like, dude. Corcoran has a great last 100.
Like, he does.
You picked him.
He's in this. I don't know if I picked him to win. I didn't say he's going to win, but I was just like, dude, this guy has a...
Well, Grant now knows that he can't out-kick everyone.
Because yeah, I feel like Corcoran going to be back? Because if I'm Grant, that means that Grant ran like 11.9. I'd be like, oh, I'm pretty fucking good out-kicking people now. As long as Corcoran's done the race, I could probably out-kick everyone.
Because he's probably thinking, I'll take the check and go.
Yeah, because like... I don't know. There's not that many people that are 5K, 10K guys that can do that.
He knows Corcoran's not going to be in the 5 or 10 at the end of the year.
Yeah, this guy's not. I mean, he might be in the 5K. Probably not the 10, though.
Maybe not the 10, yeah.
He could. He definitely has actually some strength. Grant was definitely calling him a 1500 guy. Yeah. But he did win the Australian 10K.
He did.
A couple of years ago.
He did, dude.
He also ran 3K at World Indoors, so... He's running distance. What's it called? Mid distance to,
yeah, I mean,
to the commissioner.
The thing is, he's no joke. He's a 7:30 man from February, was it?
He's from Ireland.
In Boston. Also from Ireland. Both of these.
Oh, from February. You mean like the date? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, easy to get those.
Capricorn's not in February, though. When's Capricorn?
Couldn't tell.
You know the star signs, don't you, George?
Could be February. Who knows?
Could be February. Anyway, Cozzy clicking down Grant was pretty amazing, but I also felt like, what do you guys think going into the 5K? Do you think, oh, it's going to be quick now after that 3K? Or were you guys thinking like, oh, they're going to do a jog fest again?
I think we knew it was like, Grant's not going to take it from lap one. Like,
no,
that's just like setting yourself up for failure. But I think we've seen Grant enough times in US championships do a really fast last mile, and he's...
As a trademark Grant move.
One of the best in the world at it. So I think we knew that he was going to try and do something along those lines. And that's how it did play out. And I was kind of surprised at how dramatic he destroyed everyone, because those are really good guys. I thought at least like someone could try stick with him for, I don't know, everyone like races, maybe it's because of the prize money, but don't you think like everyone races particularly distance very conservatively, because it's like no one wanted to risk really... Like George Mills did for maybe 50 meters, but like no one tried to go Grant for two laps, you know, which you might see that in some other race settings where it's like they actually like put everything into go. No one else really wanted to try. They seem pretty content.
Well, I think like sometimes in another race scenario, there's at least the second, like there's a fallback bonus of either running fast or hitting a time or something that makes it worth like the extra risk.
Yeah.
Now it's like they know there's nothing else to gain basically except for some cash. So they're like, oh, guess I'm racing for second.
Yeah.
Well, what about like two, that is, yeah, you could tell they were like too eager just to settle for that.
Some of those other guys, Grant's thing, like his clothes was absolutely amazing, like that sub 4 mile, but I know those other guys can do that.
Well, I was going to say, what, 357 was it last mile?
Yeah, off, like that, off a pretty
slow. To be
honest,
with the amount of talent, with the amount of talent there, that's not, I wouldn't think, maybe I'm being naive, but I wouldn't think like people in that race could.
No, I mean,
do
if
that.
You go to the, I heat, think they could 100% if you go to the heat at world champs, like probably everyone that qualifies is
can do that.
Doing that, you know, like yeah. It's mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that
I would expect like George Mills and Cozzy to be able to do that.
Okay, like Kamoy, like
yeah, even yeah, I expect them.
Cooper
like,
can probably
yeah, 57 last like they
it's,
probably
it's crazy.
Do that.
It's crazy and it's really impressive.
Yeah, but it's not that they would be getting dropped like they did.
But maybe it's the 3K. Maybe it's at this point in the year as well, because like yeah, that's the type of thing that people really, I guess, like prepare for more later in the year when they're sharpening up for like those full championship races. But now that's what Grand Slam is.
Yeah,
every single time, and I think. Everyone's fit, but clearly Grant is another level of fit compared to everyone else right now. So that's why he's able to go and do those things. And he got rewarded with back-to-back dubs.
Could just enjoy the last 100.
Yeah, got to
chill.
Good
for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess he could have run faster if he had.
Yeah,
he had
probably put the brakes on maybe.
Had someone with
definitely.
Him.
I think his fastest lap was 3 to go.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy.
Yeah. That's when he dropped his 58, I think.
Yeah.
So... yeah, Grand Slam. Those are...
I wonder if Kyle will try and bring in some challenges that will run like the women.
Well, I think after last time, we were all so excited to see Hagos do that. And then he had to pull out of this one for I'm not sure what reason. But if I was Kyle, yeah, I would try make sure Hagos is back there and then get like a few other Hagoses as well.
Well, let Kyle know that I'll do that. I'll just take
put
it out.
Ollie in there.
Yeah, I'll take it out. Hopefully we'll see Louis G back for the next two as well.
Back, right?
Hope so.
Yeah.
I don't know which which team he's in. Hagos team or
dude, or Grant. I feel like he would go with Hagos potentially, but I don't know if he would want to ever lead out Grant. I don't think many people would.
No, yeah. True.
So yeah, those are two like different things, I suppose. It's hard to do. But yeah, that was Grand Slam, I think. We did enjoy it. It was some great racing. Some good improvements from the first one. I don't know. Anything else to say?
I think it's picking up steam. I think the next two will be the biggest for sure. I think that's not a surprise, but it'll be interesting to see how big they actually are. And what the future lies for Grand Slam, because the Diamond League is also changing a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see how the Diamond League responds to Grand Slam's efforts.
I wonder if they're going to get easier to find people for. Or will they get slightly harder in June because the people, some of the challengers are like, I can't really afford to go to Grand Slam. I got to go get a standard somewhere.
Whereas now they're like, easier, at least the next one.
Easier to get bigger people for?
Yeah.
I think everyone wants to do LA and Philly. I think everyone wants to do
that. There's enough people out there with the standard.
That's what I'm thinking. Like probably most people that they would want for that position already have the standard.
The Hobbses of the world.
Yeah. Got to get Hobbs in it. Isn't it like Hobbs in that A15 group?
Well, it just makes sense from day one that Hobbs would be one of the best for it because he ran at the 8 and the 15 at the Olympics.
I'm sure it's going to happen. Like, there's no way.
It's perfect for him.
Unless he's dealing with an injury or a niggle, it's perfect for him. He should be doing it.
Yeah. I wonder how you would, we've talked about this in the past, but like, and I don't think Grand Slam is focusing on this at all right now, as they probably shouldn't because it's so early in their cycle. But I do wonder how like, the number, like more traditional, not just outtakes on like, oh, it was good or it wasn't good, more traditional metrics of success for a sporting event or anything that's like entertainment.
What was
how they do?
Second biggest sporting event in Miami.
No, I heard that there was like
there was something else. There was something else on, but I think it was something to do with like, it was racing. It was a racing thing, wasn't it, George?
It got less, I think it got less viewers though. I don't know.
We'll have to wait and see with those metrics, but it'd be interesting to see how they measure success to their investors. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like, eventually, it has to come down to probably those cold hard numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Which
I mean, with all of our coffee club fans, if they got us on,
they would be able to boost their numbers.
Numbies
go up. Membrane. Commissioner.
We know you're listening.
We know you're listening. Please, for the love of everything, put us on. Make it happen. We'll take a cheeky 100K.
That's all it will take to get us on. We'll make that back.
Oh, George, do you reckon we should get paid more? Do you reckon we're valued higher than that?
Each?
I bet each.
including Gus.
Gus gets paid the most, so because he's the commissioner of coffee clubs, so
he's basically Michael Johnson.
He'll be
competing in the commissioner's race.
Yeah,
representing.
He'd actually do pretty well right now. He's pretty fit.
Yeah, I think he would. So one other race that maybe you saw, maybe you didn't, that went on this past weekend was the USATF Road 5K, and we just want to quickly shout out this one because, you know, a couple of members of Coffee Club Track Club got their first US titles.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was for Olin as well. It must be, right?
Yeah, that is Olin's first because I'm thinking NCAAs is the other one.
But. So pretty huge. It went down in Indy, and it was actually, it's a bit sad because at one point it was supposed to be the selection race for the World Road Running Champs, which was meant to happen in San Diego. So obviously it would have been a bit more hyped if that hadn't got canceled. But it was still a couple of very competitive, good races with actually a lot of prize money on offer. So congrats to Olin, who got the win on the men's side. And then a huge congrats as well to Josette, who got a dominating victory on the women's side. I think
coming back from Philly. Pretty impressive.
Just 1 week later, she told me she took off at 1 mile into the race. And just
never looked back.
I think she said she split like a 4:40 for like the second mile, something crazy like that, and just dropped him and just got it done.
How about Olin?
Olin,
big kick down. I'm guessing
it was a kick down. It was a kick down type race,
taking down Casey Klinger.
Yeah, so I mean, pretty sick racing. I think the Road 5K is actually a cool event. It doesn't really like exist, you know, in that big of a capacity, but it's actually a pretty sweet event because you can get so many different athletes out there competing in it. And yeah, it's just cool. So that was some big wins for Coffee Club Track Club. So we'll put that in our back pocket. A couple more US titles in the bank. We'll take those. Gus is very happy about that.
Gus is very happy with that.
Good ROI on that.
And then the final
guests.
That's how we measure success.
Cold hard numbers.
That's what our investors look for.
US titles.
What's the business term? That's my KPI. That's our KPI.
That's KPI.
I was looking for KPI for a little bit there in my head, and we got there eventually. So I'm happy about that. Finally, the second half of the back-to-back Diamond League season openers in China went down. I'm going to say it was a Shanghai Diamond League, even though I know it technically was not in Shanghai. Is in a different city whose name I'm not sure of. But similar to the first one, kind of like a lot of pretty amazing performances.
Yeah.
But we didn't pay that much attention to it because it was while we were sleeping, I believe, right before we woke up in the early hours of the morning. We did have Sage coming back from our team in the 800. She ran a 1:59, which is not bad for her at this point in the season. I know she's still looking for a little bit more. I mean, she's a 1:57 gal, so I think in the 800, it's one of those things where you can race a lot and every single time you obviously want to run a PB. So
yeah,
it's kind of what you're going for. But still, I think she did really well in a great field. Australian record, no, second fastest second Australian ever, yeah. Sorry. 1:57 for Sarah Billings to come second in the race.
Pretty amazing considering
an Ethiopian record.
She's had a long, like, kind of... I would say a long career of just dealing with a lot of adversity, and to see her like come through, because she ran amazing at nationals. So yeah, to come through like chipping away, getting better and better, and then running a time like that is just incredible. So it's very exciting to see her. And she's already been selected for, I think she's already been selected for Tokyo World Champs. So she'll be representing Australia.
In the 800?
In the 800, yeah.
Didn't Abby win nationals?
Yeah, she was second.
Two of them. I think,
but I think she hit the qualifications for it, and then just running that just shows you like she's going to be hopefully crushing it in the next few months.
Yeah, she can relax now for a couple months. Yeah, she can take some time off.
She can.
Does Kat still have the record?
Yeah,
I think she does.
But incredible run! It's great to see Sarah do so well.
So fast,
yeah,
really fast. And there was a pretty stacked men's 5K. These 5K races that they host in China are just absolute shit shows where they have. Like, one, the weather is generally not good, and I think once again it was pretty warm. bit muggy to go run a fast 5K.
How was the air quality? Do you know?
I didn't get any air quality reports on this one, but generally in China, it's not amazing.
Probably similar to Boulder.
Yeah. But then they just have, so they just stack these races with like, yeah, just so many people and so many amazing like Ethiopians generally, because I think, was it that the meet organizer is an agent for a lot of the Ethiopian athletes, something like that. There's some connection. And so they just have, so, and the thing is like the Ethiopian athletes are really good at racing in hot weather as well. Yeah. So they just fucking dominate.
It's their bread and butter.
So we had Aragawi, who, if anyone's going to win in those conditions, it's going to be, I think, Aragawi.
Can you get him in a Grand Slam?
Yeah.
My God.
He would be, actually, he would be the most exciting guy, because he does the most wild moves out of anyone.
And he just rips from early out too, if he wants to.
He ran a casual 12:50. So
that's insane. He's about 85 degrees, I'm sure.
He's doing pretty well right now. So good for him. But yeah, I think it was a tough race. And then it was another steeple that went down, which was one in, what did you say before, George? 8:07?
I think another 8:07. A few 8:00 mid runs in China. One by an On, Ethiopian, also Ethiopian guy, but running for On. Maybe first Diamond League steeple win for On.
That's pretty
good.
Seems
like it. We're stacking the steeple field, which is cool.
Yeah.
On's growing, baby.
I'm excited to see you run 7:45 for the steeple.
That'd be nice, huh?
Yeah, in your next race. I think, I mean, just watching you do the steeple, it's just, you're running, you're definitely in 70:45 shape for the steeple.
I do love the look of these like 8:06, 8:07 Diamond League wins. None of this like 7:55 rubbish.
Yeah, you don't want any, you want that kind of like 8:00 something.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, shit, if we can just keep those.
Actually, why don't we, we can't end this podcast until all of us have won a Diamond League. I think that's like a rule. So Morgan, get into those 5Ks and win one of those, and then Jordy got the steeple.
Don't go to China.
Just don't go to China.
Don't go to China.
Okay. Yeah.
And you'll be fine.
Hell yeah. I was like trying to think of you. Like, oh, you fucking won one last year.
Yeah, I won one by default.
You won a very stacked one.
I think an 8:07, 8:00, like 8 steeple, that's definitely winnable. I hope they just 100%. Stay not.
100%. That's perfect. And for this time of year too, it's perfect.
No, right? But that's concerning, because this time of year is not when I'm doing one.
Good point.
We got 2 months down the line when they're probably going to be running a lot faster. But
I don't know though. I feel like, I don't think they will. I don't know why. I feel like, you know, the people that make it quicker than that is, or it's just like a, it's not like many people can physically do that. It's like there's a few key players, and I don't know. I could be proven very wrong here, but I feel like right now it seems like maybe they're not going to get it to quite that level. We'll see though.
Either way, I'm excited to see you.
Maybe Jimmy.
Jimmy G?
He will probably run a very fast steeple. I don't know how he could. I don't know how he's getting over barriers.
Pretty good at getting over the finish tape.
Yeah.
He's going to be holding a crepe in his hand, otherwise he can't hurdle.
Yeah.
And or a French flag and a crepe, and then he's just the most beautiful hurdler you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. This is Jamie Garcia, for anyone that's wondering. He's apparently moving to the steeple this year.
Is that confirmed?
Or at least he's teasing that he is.
Because there was a picture of him doing one in training or something.
No, he steepled the finish line tape at the European Road Champs at running 59:30.
Yeah, that's
had the legs to hurdle the finishing tape. And then in the interview, he literally like said something about steeplechase.
No, because Cinta showed me a picture of him going over Barrett.
Yeah. Oh, really?
So I think he must have posted something. I don't know.
So that would be that'd be a great guy to get in the podcast, but we need a translator.
Yeah, or you just got to learn French.
Yeah, I can just...
could be our translator.
Yeah, I'll just do an XQC and just...
He would be great for the steeple though. Like, he'd bring some good character energy.
Yeah. If he wins something, he'd pull something off. Like, he does all those weird finishes, do a somersault or something.
He does bring back the Ezekiel Kemboy stuff.
Honestly, I'd love... Like, this is probably a bit... Okay. I would love... If he's doing all those crazy celebrations, like after the last hurdle, and then you just come in and just like pip him on the line, and he's like, "No!"
All right, that's foreseen what's going to happen in Monaco this year,
dude. I'd love to see that. It'd be unreal.
Drama,
we love it.
Yep. So that was. I don't know if are we missing anything. Did anything else special happen in this past week that we should comment on? That we should give our opinion on? That we feel like the people
feel strongly about.
Well, I do feel strongly about something, George, that I'd love to argue about if you have a couple minutes.
Let me just check my schedule. Oh, yeah, I got a couple minutes.
So, I recently went to Seaburger. with the fellas and Meg. And
people at home are going to really love this argument.
I actually have to admit, personally, I think it's way better than Wild Pastures. I think it's way better.
What segment is this for?
Let's set the stage.
Is this part two of Burger Chat?
Yeah, we need to compare it to whatchamacallit, the other burger that you said was the best burger in the world.
Oh, obviously we did Black Belly last year.
Okay, so Black Belly, honestly.
Yeah, where's Black Belly at
these days?
It's good,
but it's probably overall, like, if you're wanting.
I think it's a different category because it's not a smash burger, right?
Yeah, I think that's, but also I think Sea Burger is overall would rank higher than Black Belly. I like Black Belly as one of my favorite ever burgers, but I think there's two things that rank it down, the price and just like, I think accessibility to these burgers.
Well, Black Belly is not a burger shop as well.
No, so it's a butcher.
It is a different category.
But to be fair, like, so I heard you went with Robert and Joe.
To Sea Burger,
correct?
To Sea Burger.
And
just so everyone at home knows, Wild Pastures is a burger place that has existed in Boulder for years.
We've been there a few times.
It's pretty good. It's a little on the pricey side. But then Sea Burger is a new restaurant that just opened up in the last couple of months.
Exactly the same price, I'd like to point out.
No, it's not.
$12.99. They're both the exact same.
No, $17. It's $17 for a burger at Wild Pastures. $10
singles, doubles.
Sorry, what? A burger at Wild Pastures is $12.99.
No, it's not. Unless you're getting like the bare minimum.
There is no.
I'm looking this shit up.
No, Wild Pastures comes as a double. Sea Burger comes as a single. You add a patty, and it's $12.99.
Controversy.
So Joe told me $17 for Wild Pastures burger, $10.99 for.
That's absolute bullshit.
Don't throw Joe under the bus.
I am throwing Joe under the bus. No, but we went yesterday, and I tell you what, it was pretty. The chicken
burger.
What did
burger. You order?
I got
chicken
the,
burger. We're not fucking talking
no,
chicken.
Listen,
I got that as your second burger.
I got my second burger. Robert ordered three burgers.
Three singles.
Yeah,
three
singles. He's a single. Yeah,
which is actually
he
kind
likes
of amazing.
How much
a lot,
was a single?
Ten.
That's outrageous.
That's not bad.
You know
what's
crazy?
My double was like, I don't know if it was 10 up.
I think Five Guys and those ones are actually around that. Like, they're
Five Guys has always been expensive.
They're expensive. But they're big chains, so you would kind of expect like a local shop to be a little more pricey.
Yeah, true.
I guess. Ollie ordered the
A. I got the double A.
You had a double
is
A.
Is that just normal? What is that? I don't know what that means.
That's normal. That's
okay,
like
so
normal
Geordie, meal. The junior wild beef burger, which is the kid's meal, is $9.88 before tax.
The fuck's that got to do with anything?
Well, you said that the double burger was 10.
What is the double burger? That's their normal cheeseburger. That's what
it's
we were trying to compare.
I go to Wild Pastures once a week. I know it's $12.99.
It's not $12.99.
Oh my goodness, this is a ridiculous argument.
So it's 13.06 before add-ons. So I don't know what the add-ons are.
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at the menu
show
right
me.
Now, bro. This is just the basic burger. It's 13.06. But it's not.
Sorry, $12.99.
But that
was
that,
not was 7
that
cents.
The basic one does include
the basic
everything.
One is a double, unlike Sea Burger, right?
The basic one, why is it people showing me as a single?
Well, that's controversial.
That's just like random Google.
That's controversial right there.
But it just shows as single burgers, but maybe that's because that's what they asked for.
Why don't you just go on the actual website, Standard Burger?
I'm on the
$12.99.
Well, it says 13.06.
You're on Google, though. You're not on their menu.
It says menu.
No, yes, but you're just on like a Google, like one of those weird things that comes up and it tries to tell you. You're not actually on their website that says $12.99.
I'm gonna try to pull up the Sea Burger menu.
Okay, so now that we've discovered that the price difference is irrelevant, what's your other argument?
What's the fries? What's the fries price difference?
The fries are $7. Yeah, for a small fries $4, large fries $7.
Is this Wild Pastures?
Yeah,
because the Sea Burger is $5
for the fries.
They have one size; it's $5.
That's just the same. As well.
Yeah. What's a double A burger at Sea Burger? How much does that cost?
$11.
$11 even?
Yeah.
All right.
So
you do have it on price.
I give you $2.
There you go.
Yeah, but Robert said that at Wild Pastures.
How is a single tin something then? You're getting, someone's getting rich.
It's eight. I think I'm looking at a different burger. But Robert said that last time he went to Wild Pastures, he had to drink 13 gallons of water because it was so salty.
What do you?
And Joe also said that he'd just get a puddle under his burger that he couldn't actually get. Like, it was just like a messy burger.
This is not. I mean,
this is from the boys.
No, yeah, exactly.
Why are you bringing them into it?
Okay, last time I went to Wild Pastures, it was pretty solid, but the burger I got was a little bit of an underwhelming experience, only because I felt that the patties themselves, like, what didn't taste that good. And then when I went to Seaburger recently, I had two burgers. One was the double A, and then I got the chicken burger. But then I got fries. I got the a Topo Chico, a ginger ale, and I got the double swirl custard thing. And
so clearly, price is no object.
No, but listen, I got all that stuff, and then I paid for Meg's meal, which was she got a chicken burger, and then she got fries.
What's going on right now?
And then
now?
She, that all that stuff was like $42 or some shit.
There's no way that was all $42.
Before taxes.
There's
before
no
tax and tip.
Yeah. So it was like 60 something. That's pretty good.
Tip? Oh, taxes and tip.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
What do you mean that's pretty good for like a fast food burger place?
But you did just list a lot of
food. I listed a lot of shit. That's good for a lot of shit, dude. We ate a lot of stuff. But also the flavor, the quality, the vibes.
I like Seaburger.
I think Seaburger was the shit, George. And I don't know why you don't like it because they have the
I didn't say I don't like it. I think Wild Pastures is bitter.
No.
We have to do it. We have to get them and now do a comparison.
Yeah, we can do a comparison. But I think Seaburger is way better than Wild Pastures.
That's fine.
I just don't understand why you don't like Seaburger. I didn't say
I didn't like it.
Well, you'd like it less than Wild Pastures.
That's
makes no
not
sense.
The same thing.
You're a guy that loves good quality. I don't know why you don't like Seaburger.
Again.
This is a good argument.
I don't not like it. I find that one of the biggest things about Wild Pastures is the sauces. Whereas Seaburger just offers you like, there's just the cheapest mayo and the cheapest ketchup you can buy just like from the fucking store.
No, you can get add-on sauces.
Yeah, they have different sauces. Yeah, different
but that's like their normal, like, they're not obviously home making anything. Whereas Wild Pastures is like...
How do you know that? What about the special Seaburger sauce or their spicy mayo?
They also make a barbecue sauce.
Okay, but obviously the ketchup and mayo is just like on the table. Just like
what's wrong with that? People will like ketchup and mayo.
They only have ketchup on their table.
I don't like
tomato
it.
Tomato sauce.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, but they have the option to get the homemade sauces if you want them.
I don't think they do. You guys are just
we were just
it up.
There last night. No, they have their own barbecue sauce and they have their own like special sauce as well.
Yeah, it's probably just like the mayo and it's like a Thousand Island.
But you could just try it and see.
What do you mean?
They have a chipotle aioli as well. They have that. They have a homemade chipotle aioli.
Do they?
Yeah, they have it with the chicken burger.
Oh, that makes sense.
Hey, I did some research on the run today because I wanted to make sure I could see what Geordie's reaction was.
What do you mean
was.
You did research on the run?
I talked to Joe and Robert. Oh. Yeah, that was my valid. Research.
That's actually good research.
Also, I also spoke to Kai. But I just couldn't fathom, after my experience and how lovely it was, I couldn't fathom Geordie not being like, this place is unreal.
I like the fries at Seaburger. I think everything about Seaburger is just more clean.
Yeah.
I love both. But I think Seaburger is more
Wild
clean.
Wild Pastures, if you were like, George, hey... Ollie, I miss you. Let's go grab a burger. And we went to Wild Pastures. I honestly wouldn't be like, fuck that shit. But
my other argument, one of the biggest things, I like the burgers both, but when I want a burger, I'm normally not trying to go to a sit-down restaurant and order and pay at the table.
They do have
a
takeout option.
They do have option.
They have an iPad at the front where you just go.
They also have they have an online thing that you can do as well.
I don't mean to take it away. I just mean and like it's on Pearl Street. It's just it's more of an investment in time.
Oh.
You want to go up and order at the front counter and then sit down.
Rather
than sitting down and waiting for them to come and serve.
So you don't
for like a chill burger place. Normally I'm like I'm in a mood not to faff around. Like at a nice restaurant.
Well, technically,
we did faff around a little bit last night.
But to be fair, that lady did have to take like an order of 48 burgers. At, like,
and I'm not saying that's an issue.
Around in a good way.
I'm not saying that's an issue, but
we
that's just
time.
If I'm going for a burger, normally I'm not looking for a sit down.
So you don't
want
to sit down and talk to your mates and say how things are going? And
there's nothing to do with it.
Yes, it is. You don't want to sit down and have a conversation before your meal comes
in. So do you like a drive through?
No, not really a drive through guy.
Unless it's McDonald's breakfast. I've got that over ever since that card, man. I got to thank them, your friends.
And
you like Panda Express and McDonald's.
The biggest things are the sauces, and
the truth comes out.
What sauces specifically? The tomato sauce.
The sauce that makes a puddle under the burger?
I don't like ketchup.
Yeah.
So that one, most mean, of all, and they serve truff.
Geordie, this hot is the sauce. This is a Coffee Club truff podcast. It's called big. Tomato sauce, buddy.
Yeah,
it's
you're
not
right.
Called tomato ketchup. Sauce. It's tomato sauce.
I apologize to all our loyal down under listeners.
So the sauce ketchup. Is a big factor.
Fuck, tomato sauce.
No, you did it again.
Homemade tomato sauce, right? Because I don't like, what is it? What are Heinz?
No, their brand is, I've never seen their brand before. No, I'm not kidding about this. Whatever brand of tomato sauce they have is not, I don't think it's one that you just go buy at the grocery store.
No, it's not. It's not.
I think it is actually a premium brand.
It's a premium brand, but I don't know.
We got to go take a picture of it so we can confirm this, but it's not a brand that I see at the grocery store.
It's still tomato sauce, but like,
a little bit more convenient.
So you like the convenience and the sauces of Wild Pastures that takes the win over Seaburger. But if you were saying,
I enjoyed my burger. The last time I went to Seaburger, I didn't enjoy it. My actual burger as much as
what,
I do
what
it.
What burger did you order at Seaburger?
I think just like the plain double A, I think.
Which is what I got.
Yeah.
Well, I would love for you to give it another chance.
I would. I didn't come last night because I hate it. I didn't come, as you know.
No,
I was watching Chris Hoare perform.
He's watching my brother perform at the Boulder Theatre.
It's actually uncanny, Morg.
I thought it was Red Rocks.
Why
look at this guy.
Invite?
Yeah, why didn't you invite us, Geordie?
I told you months ago.
Look at him. Look at
Chris Hoare.
Chris gave us free tickets.
The guitar.
Well, that is crazy.
He does look
it's
like Chris a lot.
Uncanny.
Yeah. When we were
I was
going to
text Chris and say, nice show.
It was. You should text him and send him the video. If you fucking
I will.
When I was on vacation in Australia, the most random thing, it was like an old like little like a seafood restaurant kind of pub area when you go along the Gosford area. And it's just Ziggy Albers performing there in like a smaller like 200 people. Like he's a massive like star. I'm like, holy, he's just performing in this little pub. It's crazy seeing artists like do little gigs like that, but it was like, damn, there's Ziggy Albert's performing. It's Chris Hoare performing. But
I'm happy we got to the bottom of that argument.
Yeah, I just wanted
Which
to
actually,
know if
I don't
George,
think we did.
We didn't get to the bottom
I
of it.
I think we have to have a part
I
two.
I think we just have to get a AA Wild Pastures standard and really boil it down to
Morgan,
burger
would you
only.
Be open to doing a review?
Love to.
Okay, so what we need to get an input, we need to get probably who do you think would be the best to have? We need a fourth person, which I think is on the team that could be very, very honest about their opinion.
We already, we obviously not Joe or Robert because we've just confirmed.
What about Dylan? We could do Dylan. We could do Mario.
I don't think
Yard.
We need
Yard.
I think,
maybe.
I think we can make.
If you have a fourth person, then you have potential for a 2-2.
Yeah, no, I think it's got to be us. Mm. Same as last time.
Yeah, but we know where he's going to land, and we know where.
No, I'm going to be honest.
That is actually a good point.
We need some.
Morgan's going to make the deciding.
Well, but Morgan could change. Like, I feel like Morgan's more open minded than I am. I'm a pretty narrow minded bloke. When I like something, like I'll just say, "Oh, it was a bad day." When it was like, it's probably, you know, I think Morgan would be more open minded. I'll be very narrow in my decision. I know you'll be narrow in your decision. I think we need.
I don't
person.
Know. I could see you after this somehow you swap over to the Wild Pastures side. I think George could convince you. I could see that happening.
Oh, it's actually pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I really underrated this Wild Pastures.
I've had Wild Pastures before, but I just forgot. Just forgot. Yeah. I mean, does it compare to the McDonald's Minecraft meal? Absolutely not. Nothing will compare to that.
Of course,
nothing will compare to that. But
are you gonna be late for your massage?
I got a text. He's 15 minutes behind.
Right. Oh, okay, perfect.
I got a text from Dylan Jacobs and Kai Robinson saying, "Let's get on because we're going to start Fortnite streaming."
Yeah, regardless, I think this is a nice time to wrap up.
Yeah.
A really insightful podcast. If you made it through those last 20 minutes, then you're a real one.
It was a treat.
Kudos to you.
It was
because
a treat.
I can't. I would love to hear how that was to listen to. Just talking about a couple local burger spots that are of no relevance, but yeah, if you ever come to Boulder, try them out and tell us yourselves what you think,
and shout out them to the Coffee Club podcast and hopefully we can get free
burgers. Sponsored.
Yeah,
that'd be huge. That's the ultimate goal. Alright, well, that's it for episode 185 of the Coffee Club podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening once again, and we look forward to seeing you guys all again next week. Bye bye.